I am Plata on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. A new film to have its Vancouver premiere at the Vancouver International Mountain Film Festival is Way of the Hunter. It is a new short film by Robert Moberg. He is a filmmaker who grew up with hunting wildlife as part of his life. He's since thought otherwise, trading in his gun for a camera. In the film, he reflects on where he finds himself today and his thoughts on the wilderness and our relationship with the other species therein. Also in the film, Mr. Moberg is joined by Mike Willey, an indigenous wildlife tourism guide from Vancouver Island. They're two different guys who come together because of a common affection and reverence for the wild. Robert Moberg joins me from Williams Lake. He grew up in Alberta and lived for a time here in Vancouver. His films have been broadcast on the documentary channel. Visit MobergFilms.com for more. This film screens at the Cinematheque, 1131 House Street here in Vancouver, Monday, the 25th of February at 7:30 p.m. Visit vimff.org for tickets. Way of the Hunter is a National Film Board of Canada production. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Robert Moberg. Mr. Moberg, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us. It's a very personal film, and it's made beautiful by the insights that you provide, but also just a gorgeous showcase of the wilderness that's really around us. Where do you take us in this film?
We go by boat to the Great Bear Rainforest, basically, which is just the Pacific Coast. A lot of people wonder where the Great Bear Rainforest is, but it's basically most of the Pacific coast of BC. So we go quite a ways into Thompson Sound, and then we're seeing humpback whales and sea lions, and then we hike into a river and get up close and personal with some grizzly bears there.
Yeah, I'll talk about the grizzly bears in just a sec. But when you're with your family, where's that?
Oh, sorry, that's I live in a town called Williams Lake up in the interior, so about 500 kilometers from Vancouver.
I see.
And we've lived here since the 70s.
But you grew up in Alberta, is that right?
Yeah, we grew up on a small farm in near Rocky Mountain House, Alberta, in a district called Cheddarville. And we were kind of the last house on the road. We had power, but that's about it. We had no hot water, that kind of thing. So we grew up in pretty rustic circumstances. And, the house we lived in was built from a small sawmill that my father ran, and, two or three people could run it. And so it was all rough-sided wood on the house, and, pretty rough, outhouse, all that kind of stuff. So we didn't have much money. We barely got by just running this little sawmill and selling some hay once in a while. And it was typical, a little old barn with cats running around and chickens here and there. And, we just lived off the basics of, cows and chickens and that kind of thing. And sometimes, you had seven kids, so and my grandparents lived there as well, so there was a lot of us to feed. So that's where the hunting came in, of course. He started hunting, he didn't start hunting, but he would go get a moose if it was necessary, and it was just part of life, I guess. There was certainly no fanfare about it. It was always just a job that he did, and I guess that's the difference. Then to me, it was Dad had to go get a moose, whereas now it's a holiday for people, right? They go hunting as a vacation, so it's quite a different thing.
And so for you as children, I mean, hunting was obviously something that you'd encountered, you'd participated in even. And then your thinking evolved. Around when did that happen?
The thinking what?
Your thinking about hunting, when did that change?
Well, it changed over quite a long time, I guess. But it really, when we lived in Williams Lake, we still were, it's vast wilderness here. There's 60,000 people and 60,000 square kilometers, so it's you've got lots of room to move up here. But I moved to Vancouver in my late 20s, and just being around the traffic and sort of the, you could say almost the cliches of city life, the people and noise and traffic, You know, I found myself always seeking out little quiet nature spots in Vancouver, and really started seeing, you know, it was sort of an eye-opener for a young guy to go down there and just see all the people, and all, it was massive, this city, and sort of overwhelming, and I enjoyed the excitement of it, but I also, it was hard on me. So when I would come home to Williams Lake to visit, it was always, you know, so wonderful to get out in the forest again. And, you know, I've said this before, but it's always, hunting was a kind of the excuse, hunting or fishing. But in the fall, of course, hunting was a great reason to go. That's all I ever knew. So that's why you would go in the forest and pack your rifle around. And, you know, that's why we did it. Uh-huh. I didn't know there was another way, but I soon found this sort of nagging feeling that I just wanted to watch the wildlife. I never wanted to shoot anything. So, you know, I would just tag along after a while. I wouldn't even take a gun, just go on these little hunting trips with family and friends, and we'd just be driving in a truck talking, and then we'd go for a nice walk, and I really loved doing that. But then, the dirty part when you had to, you know, moose was shot or whatever it was, I just found it wasn't something I wanted to do anymore. It was sort of upsetting, I guess. I just thought, wow, there's millions of people on this planet, and I don't need to be taking part in, you know, eliminating or threatening wildlife in any way. So they just became very special to me, any kind of wildlife. I just started really enjoying watching them, studying them. And then, of course, eventually, when I started as a filmmaker, then it really took off. You know, my first documentary was on bighorn sheep, and you know, it was just fascinating watching them.
Yeah, you mentioned the grizzly bears that you encountered. They're fascinating to watch in the film. I can only imagine that we as a viewer, I mean, it's not as great watching it as to really being up close as you were. I mean, that's an experience altogether itself, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a funny, for hunters, they sort of, grizzly bears are, I wouldn't say they vilify them, but they sort of build them up to be a very dangerous creature. And certainly they can be in the right circumstances. And, you know, even when I was younger, I had books on grizzly bears, on grizzly attacks, which is sort of says something. You know, you're sort of obsessed with the dangerous element of grizzly bears.
Yeah,
over time, you know, I've been around grizzly bears a lot the last few years just for a couple of films, and you really realize that, you know, they're just not dangerous. They're absolutely worthy of respect. But, when you're really close to them, it's just fantastic. I don't know. It's not even fear. It's more of a reverence or you're sort of awestruck. In the film, there's one that swims by us there, and, you know, as close as that looks, that's how close we were. It was
really
probably 10 or 15 feet when he sort of slowly swam by us there. We were just on the bank of that little stream, and it does kind of make you hold your breath for a minute. But it really stays with you. You know, it's unbelievable, and I would highly recommend it for anybody.
In the film, we see you meet Mike Willie. Was that the first time you guys had met?
Yeah, we had been working on this project back and forth, emailing and talking about his encounters, and we struck up a pretty good friendship just over the phone and over emails, and that went on for almost 2 years before we actually finally got out there with the film crew and met. So I felt like I knew him already, and he's very familiar to me anyway. You know, he's sort of we've had, you know, sort of different upbringings, but in a way very similar. You know, he's done hunting background, and they used to hunt as kids and stuff a lot, and, you know, and lived in very small communities, and so we hit it off quite well.
And so in the film, we see a conversation between the two of you. What is that, what does a meeting like that mean for you?
I don't know. It's
And I ask that because watching it, it's a very thoughtful conversation,
and
you obviously, this was the first time that you'd met in person, but you knew each other, as you just said, for a couple of years at least. But the thoughts that you share about this wilderness outside us. I found it incredibly thoughtful just listening to the two of you I was just curious to know what that meant for you.
I think it's just the meeting of two kindred spirits, really, two very like-minded people, and we just had great conversations. Of course, you can't hear them all in the film, but just about wilderness and how special wilderness is and wildlife and what it means to us. And I think it's a very important part of our lives, and we can't imagine the world without it. You know, we see the threats all around us, and I think we both just want to, in our own way, get people out there. You know, maybe I sort of show people through films, and he shows people through, bear viewings and by taking them out there into the Great Bear Rainforest. And so in that way, we're very similar. We talked about sort of planting seeds in people's minds, and then they take these, how wonderful nature is, and then they spread these seeds, as they go through life, and maybe that helps in the long term.
Well, what I do think, you'll tell me if I'm correct or not, or you'll tell me if I'm wrong as well. I mean, moving forward, I think these conversations need to happen, especially because a lot of us are online in the sort, and the tone online is a lot different than, say, face-to-face.
Yeah, well, for sure. That's a whole part of the film, and, we live in this really polarized sort of world now, and politically and otherwise, and it's very divisive. And I guess in the film, the reason I met him is because he had talked a hunter out of shooting a grizzly bear just by taking him out there and showing him and telling him what that area and what it meant to his family and his people and everything, and it was just beautiful. And the guy gave up hunting, and they become really good friends after that. So I thought, man, if a person can have that effect on people, he's something special. So that was, part of the, that was the main reason I wanted to meet him. How do you communicate with people? Because, I could take that back to my life. And in fact, I did. And, the online world, when I was becoming more sort of, I guess, feeling more and more protective of wildlife and the environment, and I would see these horrible posts of trophy hunting online, and then you start reading the comments, and you start getting involved in it, and you just hate them. You hate you feel so upset. You see this dead giraffe or dead grizzly bear, whatever it is, and they're posing beside it so happily, and you just do not understand it, and so you start. A lot of people do. They start commenting, and then it starts escalating very quickly.
Yeah.
Because I think I equated this before to the, you don't see that person as a human being online. I don't know what that is, but it's the same as being in a car, and we can all relate to the road rage,
Right.
You'll do things in a car to somebody, to the other driver that you would never do to that person if you saw them on the street face to face or walking down the sidewalk. You just wouldn't behave that way.
Yeah.
But somehow, being in a car or being online, it's the same thing. It removes the human factor. You don't see them as a human being anymore. And that's the tragedy of the whole thing. Is once you, even a hunter and a non-hunter can get along, certainly we don't agree with shooting giraffes for fun.
Yeah.
But, that's still a person at the other end, and they're not worthy of getting death threats from people, which, that's how it escalates, right? It goes right up to that level. And I didn't want to be part of that world, so I knew there would be a better way. And certainly Mike Willie helped with that.
Yeah, and that's what you show us in this film, because we lose sight of a lot of this. We lose sight of the great wilderness around us. I mean, I live in Vancouver, and you talked about your experiences in Vancouver, that you can find beautiful places not too far away. I lose sight of that, and probably I think I'd be better for it if I went out to some of these places once in a while, right?
Yeah, it gives you more than I think, just sitting quietly in the forest or in a, you know, along a riverbank or wherever it might be. There's lots of little places, and just watch wildlife. It could be, you know, like I say, it could be a great blue heron, it could be a seal, it could be anything, a squirrel, you know, and it just relaxes you just breathing the air. And like my father, I got this all from him, and I remember, you know, I just answered this question in a different interview, but he came back one day from a walk, and he used to like going by himself, and we were just little kids, and he'd come back and he told us a story about he'd just be sitting out in the forest by himself by a tree, just quietly doing nothing. Now people might call it forest bathing. There's always a word for something now.
It's something marketed anyway, right? Yeah,
exactly. But he just talked about sitting there, and this squirrel started, going about its business, sort of emerged from a little hole, and eventually just started working, you know, eating cones, but it ran across his lap a few times. Like it just, you know, it realized he wasn't a threat.
Yeah.
And Dad would just sit there quietly for hours, and this little squirrel would just run back and forth. And he was telling us this, and he just had this big beaming smile. So, you know, here's this grown man with seven kids and all this responsibility and all this. And yet he was just so touched or something by this little squirrel running back and forth across him.
Mm.
And, you know, that's where I think most of my family got it from, our love of nature and being outdoors. I know that's where I got it from. And, you know, I didn't actually even realize that until the last couple of years. You know, he passed away back in the 80s, but it's pretty funny how your parent can influence you in that way more by their actions than their words.
Yeah. I saw the film on my computer, which is probably not ideal. And thinking about it now, I mean, this film, I mean, it demands to be seen on the big screen, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. It's been shot, beautifully shot, by Vince Arvidsson on a, you know, red cameras and very cinema lenses. So it's beautifully shot and a very great team on board to do this film. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's a short film, but it definitely is a sort of more of a theatrical look to it.
Yeah. What's next for you?
Well, quite a change. My wife and I lived in a small cabin. We met on an adventure sort of expedition cruise off the coast of Newfoundland, and then that's where she lived. She, only 16 weeks later, she moved here. We got married, and out in an area called Farwell Canyon, and that was about 4.5 years ago, and we lived in a little tiny cabin, which we just loved. And but eventually we succumbed to whatever it is, peer pressure, I don't know. We just wanted to buy a house. We bought a house in town. So now we live in this, you know, it's modest, but it seems like quite big to us. So it's just not for us. We see all this happening in the world, all this climate change and plastic pollution, and all these threats to the environment. And we just think, you know, we're really equipped to do something about this. So we decided about 4 months ago to buy a sailboat, and we're calling it For Good, the sailboat, and we're sailing for good. So the whole project is called Sailing for Good, and we're leaving from Vancouver in April. So we're going to make films still, but it'll be a floating film studio, and eventually we're going to travel, first of all, the whole Pacific Coast, which also I was inspired to do that after being out there filming with the National Film Board, of course, and Way of the Hunter. So now we're taking this to another level. We're going to go out there and live aboard and film and make documentaries. And basically, once we've cut our teeth a bit here and learned the ropes, so to speak, because we're not really sailors in the protected waters of the Pacific Coast there, we're going to sail around the world and do this. So, that's it. We're gone this April.
It just sounds like it'll be fun and an adventure. As well as, I can't imagine just how excited you both are, as well as maybe a little bit terrified at the same time, right?
Yeah, all of the above for sure, yeah. Like, we're like, are we crazy or something? But, you know, for the first while, you really question what you're doing, and then, as the momentum builds and, you know, we're knocking down all the obstacles in our way, so, you know, just buying a sailboat was a huge one, so now it's sitting down there in Shelter Island Marina, on the Fraser River waiting for us. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. I can't wait. It's a tiny home on the Big Blue, we're calling it, and it is tiny. You know, 34 feet is that's your living space isn't even that, you know, it's not even that big, obviously. So, but you know, we lived in a 500 square foot cabin for 4 years, and the size of it didn't bother us at all. It was so we think we can do a sailboat, and you know, it's an adventure, but it's also, you know, kind of a mission for us. We think we can put our skills, like, you know, my wife Vanessa is a real conservationist, and she works for a conservation society, so we really think we can put our skills to work, and
I love the name of the whole thing. I mean, I was going to say the boat, but it's the whole project for good. I mean, just imagine what good can come about of it, you know, from it.
Well, again, you know, talking about Mike Willie, and we can sort of spread the seeds, you know, we can communicate this message, and without hitting people on the head, because that never works. And we don't want to talk about doom and gloom all the time, because that doesn't work. People aren't motivated. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, and nobody wants to hear it. You know, even I don't. I can't stand it after a while.
Yeah.
Like, what can we do? Tell me what I can do to help this. And we can all do something, you know, in our own way to help this weary planet. Even just little things, but, you know, the way of the hunter, I think, touches on that a little bit.
We'll urge people to go to the Cinematheque here in Vancouver on Monday the 25th to see this, and until your next project, all good wishes with what's coming up for you and your wife. Thanks for this. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah. I should finally say shout out to the NFB, because there's a lot of filmmakers out there that, you know, maybe haven't considered pitching them, and I'm sure they get enough pitches. But, man, what a great, iconic Canadian institution. Like, I would encourage anybody to, you know, approach the NFB, any filmmaker, and, you know, my team there, that they put together such a great team for the whole project, for shooting it, and, like I say, Vince Arvidsson, and so, you know, the producers are Selwyn Jacob and Shirley Vercruci, and Terry Snellgrove, associate producer. They're just marvelous people. The whole experience was absolutely fantastic. It was a long process, but it really helped us sort of shape this whole project, and I think it came out in the end with a beautiful little film. And can't say enough about the National Film Board. Really awesome. It was my first experience with them, so really, really great experience.
Absolutely. Thanks for this, Robert.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Great talking to you.
Visit MobergFilms.com, and then website for the Vancouver International Mountain Film Festival is vimff.org. Way of the Hunter is on Monday, the 25th of February, 7:30 p.m. at the Cinematheque here in Vancouver. Robert Moberg joined me on the line from Williams Lake in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.